You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Gracious Father, we thank you so much for this Lord's Day, where we are reminded of the resurrection and mission of your Son, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. to reclaim all that which is lost. And thank you, Lord, that we get to share today in one particular ministry and mission and way that you're moving in our world today. Would you fill us with your goodness, inform us, strengthen us, and motivate us in you in your mission, just as the Father has sent Christ, so Christ has sent us into the world. Help us to be hands and feet this day and always. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you for coming out. And as you saw from the title, today we're going to be talking about what God's doing in one particular place in the world, in Bolivia. And many of you might be familiar, and I know some of you have been, to Amistad down in Bolivia, which is an orphanage set up to rescue and create a family structure for those children that have been left behind in a system of brokenness or abandonment. And so this is in Cochabamba.
Yeah.
Cochabamba,
it rolls off
Bolivia,
the tongue.
Is where it's located in the mountains. I've seen the pictures, and I've heard so much from Kelly Hulsey about this. And so basically, we're just going to have a little like interview discussion about what Amistad has been about Advent's connection and relationship there. And Kelly has been so instrumental in that partnership. She's served on the board of Amistad for 15 years?
About 15.
15 years or so, and just been very involved in her whole family. Duncan and others here at Advent have participated and been down. So we just want to be able to hear from different people about their experiences, about this relationship, and as we begin to plan and pray and think about what trips and regular relational connections can be done through mission trips upcoming. And so, Kelly, we're just so grateful to share this time together. So why don't you tell us about Amistad and why Amistad is such a compelling mission partner for Church of the Advent.
Okay. But first, am I on?
Uh-huh.
I'm on.
That should be, yeah, I set it up and it
okay.
should be locked.
Okay, good. Well, it's so great to see everybody. And I want to also point out that Liz Lee is on the board of directors of Amistad Mission, and she has been going down there with me probably at least 10 years. And Marnie Clark has also been on the board of Amistad Mission. So we've got lots of people in this room that have been traveled with us down there. So I really like to view the pilgrims that have traveled with us down there. I feel like we're kind of a family of Amistad. And anyway, so I'm grateful you guys are here. But Adam asked me why at Amistad would be such a compelling mission partner for the Advent. And it's such an easy answer for me. The first one is that Amistad has a 30-year history. And I don't know if a lot of you guys know this, but it has a 30-year history, 30 years or more with the Advent. Even in its early infancy of just building houses at Amistad for the children, the Advent was involved. So we've just got a history of Dean Zoll going down there, Paul Zoll going down there, of Marcia Wilkinson. I don't know if y'all knew her, but she was very involved in mission. Kathy Jacobson, who just passed away, I think it was last year, she was down there. We just have this history of, and Gil Cracky, I think he's been 29 times down there. Robin, she's had a history of and loves Amistad. So that is a reason that it would be a great, that it needs to continue. I'm hoping that it would continue to be a wonderful ministry partner. The other thing, and it's interesting because Amistad is known, I mean, some of us know about Amistad in this church, in the Advent, but a lot of people don't. Because we're a big church, and I remember a wise person once told me, and this moves out into the mission world, but it's like when you're looking for new things, look for what is already good or flourishing in that area. So if you're going into like an area to begin mission, look for what is good and already like happening in that area. And so, you know, when you bring that back to Amistad at the Advent, It's just such a home run, and is already a flourishing ministry equipped to handle families and singles and young people and adults. And it's a miss not to take it. So.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. So why should Adventers consider what it looks like to trek down there and share in this partnership? What are some reasons?
Yeah, some reasons. So, you know, we go every year. Generally, you know, either May, June, July, August, September. Those are great months to go. It's the dry season. But I would say one of the biggest reasons to go down there, and so we are an orphanage, and I say we because I feel like I'm part of the Amistad family, and I hope that the folks that have traveled there with us, like I think Liz would definitely say we, but we travel down there every year, and we bring people with us, and it's often with mission trips, people think, okay, well, I'm going to go down, and I'm going to go help someone, and I'm going to bring my skills down, and help this group of people. And what I think you will find on these trips that will, and oh, and this is my husband Duncan. He's like he is my ministry partner.
Don't worry about me.
And he, you know, I started this journey years ago, and he's like, "What is she doing?" And then at some point, he has sacrificed summers and vacations. I mean, it's just what we do as a family. So he deserves applause. But all that to say is you think you're going down there. I think the initial thought is I'm going down there to do something good. And what you find, it is truly like a pilgrimage. And so I think of myself as a pilgrim, and I think of anybody that like the Wilsons and the Flowers went with us last year. I view your families as pilgrims, that it's a pilgrimage that you're going on, and it's a spiritual pilgrimage. And because there's space to slow down. Oh, you know what? Well, I'll do that in a minute. But because there is space to slow down, and because you're seeing poverty in a whole new way. I mean, we see it here in the U.S. for sure, but it's just everywhere down there. And there's not a lot of system to pick it up. And because you're also seeing a new people group, it's the Quechua people and the Aymara people, and they have different facial, they have different body builds. And because you're seeing God represented in the music and in the creativity and the color of the food and in the tapestries, it becomes this moment and space in your life where you can really step back and understand God in new and bigger ways, and understand God and how He's working, you know, across the world. So I think that's one of the main reasons to go down there. And I also think, as believers, that we are called to be, you know, we at the Advent are good at local mission. And a lot of times it's easier to do local mission. But we are called to be a part and be aware of what's going on in the wider world, because I think it makes us more compassionate. And so I think that's another reason why it's very important to go.
Yeah, and you mentioned, like, families going. And so, like, talk about the intergenerational component and why Amistad's well-suited for people of all ages, stages of life to participate.
And before I do that, because I forgot to...
Yeah.
I'm going to do this really quick. Let's see. I do want to show everybody... I forgot this part, but I think knowing where Bolivia is in South America is important. Yes. It is a very poor country. It's one of the poorest countries in South America. It's a landlocked country. It is a country that has the Amazon, the jungle, but it also has where we will be is high up in the Andes Mountains, so we're in a real dry space. So that's the country of Bolivia, and then we're in the city of Cochabamba, so that's where that is, and I just like you to know where you're going. And then just wanted to just share also just, and then I'm just going to let the slides just slowly roll, so you'll just be seeing what it looks like. But this is the people group. I think I probably took that picture. Some of the just beautiful women in their traditional dress and their hats and they skirt, they're always in their skirts and then their chanclas, their sandals. But Bolivia does have the second lowest human development index in South America. Half of the children in Bolivia, or half of the population in Bolivia, are children. And this is the part I love. It's at least 57% indigenous. There's really almost nowhere you can go that you don't feel like you're the anomaly for sure. There's nobody that looks like you. And this is what you will see most all over Bolivia. You see there's 36% of the population lives below the poverty line. And this is the interesting one, is even in Cochabamba, where we are, in the country, but there are a ton of children that live in institutions. So even in Cochabamba, in the city where we are, there are 90 children's homes. So there are 90 orphanages in this area. Now, we at Amistad, we are not a state-run orphanage. We have autonomy. And what's unique about Amistad is we have raised the children, instead of having it being in a big institution or in a big room and all certain ages together, we have 8 houses, and we have a mama in each house, and we have 7 to 10 kids in each house, and they're raised as like an alternative family. So anyway, I just thought that might be helpful.
Yeah, they're trying to de-institutionalize the orphan experience so that they have a more stable, familial, relational base from which to live. Mallory.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Questions, or just interrupt anytime.
How do the children get into Amistad versus other orphanages?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm assuming it's maybe, is it like a bit more high, like quality of life? Like,
it is.
Are they,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to let Liz answer that.
We have social workers that work for Amistad, and one of our biggest things is we try to bring sibling groups together so that they are raised with, if they can't be with their parents or their, biological family, they can at least have a continuity with their so, because in other orphanages, you might be with, 5-year-old boys, and so you wouldn't even know your 8-year-old brother or your 17-year-old sister. So we try to bring families together. And then also in that home, you're raised with other sibling groups. So we have a social worker who goes out and finds children who would work well in our system. Typically, we bring in younger children that can adapt easier to the program we run, because we do have rules, and that would be.
Yeah, that's right. And also, we're known throughout the city for having success with children. And so there's an orphanage called Solomon Klein that's down the road. It's a very large state-run orphanage. And we bring a lot of kids in from Solomon Klein just because they're not thriving. It's just there's not enough caregivers. So,
and is it fair to say, because Amistad is a Christian-run organization with partnerships with churches like the Advent, they can draw on spiritual resources as well as just...
That's right.
Frankly, American material resources that help them make sure they're providing things where some of those other governmental-run institutions perhaps don't have the same resources.
That's right. That's right.
But there are institutions that are trying to copy what we've started.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is awesome. Mm-hmm. They see its success.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions right now? Oh, they're the flowers. That was the summer. Oh, gosh, they were a hit down there.
Well, so for somebody that's maybe a novice or hasn't traveled much internationally, I mean, what are some of the surprising ways, Kelly, that people, if they were to go on the trip, would find, oh, I could actually enter into this culture? The barriers maybe aren't as strong as I would, initially expect.
Okay, so I'm going to start answering, and then, I'd love to also hear from Carter and Lucy and Billy and Jen, anybody that wants to answer about what was surprisingly not hard,
and then what is hard.
So I'll start with one. I think that the language. I mean, you're going into a country where, a lot of us have traveled a lot, and so you go on vacation, and it may be to a country where it's French or another language, but you do find English, and this is a place where you don't. You might find it rarely, but so you don't find English very much. So that's one of the challenges. What do you guys? Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I think it's really cool to see how there's no hesitation for any of the kids to come and love on us. It's like we've been friends and been in their family their whole lives. There's no standoff from the children, like, oh, these are strangers. Like, they welcome us as a family.
Yes.
They kind of break that barrier, I think, better than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so you go in and you kind of are the stranger coming in, and they don't treat you like a stranger. Yeah.
It's a language, yeah. I'd say a lot of the mamas really helped. They would talk, speak very slowly. So to teach us their language, but also mm-hmm. not to, you know, instead of just, they're just so caring towards us that I'm of our family, I think I was the worst as far as speaking Spanish. Even my 8-year-old was better than me. But they try to help you understand
yes.
and speak slowly. And
yeah.
You don't, it's weird. It's beyond language. I mean, it's kind of cool. You don't.
Yeah.
It was a lot easier than I thought it would be.
And I think that's a great point, especially now. You know, we have about 70, I don't know the exact number right now because some of them live in the girls' youth house, some of them are in independent living, but I'd say, we call it La Villa or the children's village. I would say there we have probably 60 right now, kids on property. And so with the younger kids, language is never an issue. Like, you were there and the kids, you know, it just doesn't matter. It's just about play. And then I think as you get older, some of the teenage kids, there can be sometimes uncomfortable moments. But also that culture, I will say, they're a little bit more comfortable sitting in silence. Like, they don't have to feel like they have to fill every moment. Yeah, what else is hard? Not flushing toilet paper down the toilet. So that the plumbing system is just really weak there. So we throw toilet paper in this little covered trash can. And so one other thing that's very special is you might wonder where we stay, because that's always a question that comes up. Is it going to be comfortable? And so what's so beautiful about amistad, and amistad means friendship in Spanish. But what's so beautiful about it is that we've got the children's village and on this large, beautiful property with an organic garden. And then we've got La Mirada, where, you know, it's the visitor's guest house where we stay. And it can hold up to about 13 people. And I forgot where I was going with that, except that it's just very comfortable and it's very simple. And you're cared for well as far as the food that you're given, and it's clean. Yes.
You can eat anything. You don't have to think about what you're eating in Colorado.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's an easier thing about being, it's almost a beautiful thing about being down there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what if you don't know any Spanish and you feel really like, oh gosh, could I go on this trip? What would you say, Kelly?
You can.
Ask Liz.
Say hola 1,000 times and you still leave loving people. Yeah.
No, so Liz this year, or maybe it was last year, she's developed relationships with these kids. And that's Sadie Pittman. She went with us with her mom this year. Liz has developed relationships with these kids over lots of years. And this year she was like, you know what? I can't find anybody to go with me when I need to go, and I'm going to go by myself. And so she got herself down there, does not speak a lick of Spanish.
It's gotten a little better.
And we had our translator. Oh, come on in. Okay. We have a translator that's with us all the time. And so she had the translator with her, and sometimes she didn't even need it. It's just play with the young children. So, yes. I mean,
it really is not. To not speak Spanish is not a deterrent at all. And you do start catching on and you get better. And you don't have to speak Spanish to play soccer or basketball or to make bracelets. And they just talk to you like you speak it anyway. And you just it's really, it's amazing how you don't have to speak the same language to get along so well. So I would not let, honestly, it brings something so much bigger into your life to not. And to have to learn it, to want to learn it for somebody else. Is it really
that was
good?
Something that our partner said. One of them is a teenager. We left. She said, I'm going to learn English. And mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to try to learn Spanish. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like we wanted, we had an entire dinner together. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know,
And we have our translator with us.
But we did have a translator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forget. You do. I even forgot that. What we do without him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like the relationship is built more just by hanging out with them. Like, I feel like I built the relationship with the kids more by just spending time with them and doing stuff and having real conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. Some people have asked, well, what do you do when you're down there? And just to what Carter is saying about the relationship, it, you know, Amistad, again, it means friendship. And so this is a mission that is built on the friendship of North Americans coming to be with Bolivian children and Bolivian mamas. That's Bethany. We took her a few years ago. That's my daughter when she was younger. I forgot what I was saying. I lose track of what I'm saying.
Well, so what are some of the activities that are shared in when we go?
Oh, yeah, I was saying that, that's right, that's what I was saying, is that there are less work projects that we do down there. So we are stepping into their life and doing what they do. And I think often when you're doing mission work, and this is called a short-term mission, and when you're doing mission work, you can come in with all these plans to build something or to have all these vacation Bible schools. There are a few things that can happen with that. One is that you come in as the experts. And just because you're a North American, there's a power differential. And so I think Amistad does a beautiful job of what I would say is mutuality. Like, we come in as broken people to learn about their culture and to respect their culture. And in turn, they are there to bring us into their culture just so generously and allow us to learn from them. And so it's a very mutual giving. I'm very proud of that about Amistad.
As far as the schedule goes, I can talk about that. So, and just also going back to, there is a translator and there's a bus driver named Jimmy. And so they meet you at the airport. So you have like a escort the whole time, which is great because there's no English spoken. And so even though it's like a million people, if you're by yourself in the city and you got lost, I mean, you got to figure it out. I mean, it's very interesting to be that kind of off, you know, in a big city where you're so out of your comfort zone. And that's something that I think is really cool about it. But typical day, wake up, have breakfast together.
Hike.
We have a hike we go on. And then we have breakfast together. And then Jimmy, the bus driver, would pick us up and take us to La Villa, play with the kids for a little bit. One day we cooked hamburgers for 70 people. So that was fun. And then we would occasionally take them to a park and take the kids on a hike. There's a picture of Liz a minute ago. The largest Jesus statue in the world, or second largest. It's like a 2-hour hike to get up there. You can drive. So we do that. So it's pretty active. We're going a lot. And then at night, we would sit around and just have a cocktail or just snacks and have a devotional and have dinner. And so that's kind of a general feeling of what we do.
Yeah. And I think adding to that is, because it's so culturally different, we need to go into the city. So we have time at La Villa, and then we will go into the city, you know. Oh, gosh. Oh.
It's a video.
It's up here. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a...
So we made hamburgers for 70 people, so they all came out, and they sat. These were mamas with the kids in their house. And so they're having french fries and hamburgers.
That's Ashley Pitts. She's went with us a few years ago.
Out of the 70, only about 30 got sick.
I think he's
good. Yeah, so that's a really fun thing to be a part of their community.
And the weather's always about 70 degrees and no humidity and a little bit cooler at night. So it's like
perfect,
really stable, kind of predictable weather.
Yeah.
Kelly, I would say, and you know I say this every time, but what you're describing is hard on visitors. We want to do something.
That's right.
And the helplessness of not having the language and being, we walked around the block and got lost. I mean, I went out of La Mirada and took a right, and then starting to wonder if I'd ever find it again. The utter helplessness that you're in is a really good place for Americans to be.
Yeah.
to feeling that they actually don't need me at all. I am here just to receive.
Yeah.
And that's the great blessing. That it's both the hardest thing and the best part.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Well, everyone just wants to get down there and do something. And you're talking about that, but I'm piggybacking on it because all you do is go down there and cook hamburgers and have a good time and receive.
And we will go into the town. It's wonderful to see the town. Yeah. There's shopping. There's these women. This is up in a high mountain town that we visited this summer. And these are the weavings that they've done themselves. And that's their culture. It's an ancient art. And so it's sold in the city. They sold it to us up in, it's like a little co-op up in this mountain town. And they bring all what they've made. And so that is part of it. There will be a lot of time at La Via, the children's village, but there's also time. You know, we visit an art gallery there. I have a favorite artist. We went to his house. I mean, we do some really neat things. Mm-hmm.
And every night we do have we worship with them. They allow us to be part of their worship in place. But then at night there is a neat time when a lot of times these children led, and it was a real gift just to have that intergenerational kind of Bible study at night. Just that quiet time was neat. That was a big part of it for me.
The group is a great time. It ends up being another gift of that. It's not just getting to know the children, but you become really close with your group. And devotionals and eating together. And it's so much fun to be with children and older people. And it's just really such a gift to be in a multi-generational group, all with the same goal, though.
Yeah, I love that because you had asked that and we never really got to it about the multi-generational aspect of this. And it's, you know, in Sunday school here, in church, in schools, in our lives, we're segmented, we're separated by age. And I don't always think that's the best way to be with families and be with each other's families. So when we go down to Amistad, the idea that, you know, Lucy and Carter and Jane and, you know, Beth and Billy, like all these young people, I'm getting to know them there. And then Beth is getting to know my daughter, Lily. And maybe there's ways that the other adults are able to speak into these young people's lives. I mean, that happens down there. And then in the evening when we're doing worship together and devotionals together, to have experienced sights that are totally new. Poverty, animals, just the joy of the children that have so little, to experience that. And then as a family or as a group that's, you know, I've had it age 65 down to 6, have us process that together. I mean, it is remarkable. And I think sometimes when you have somebody that's not in your family there to kind of soften what's always there in your family, sometimes kids will start opening up in ways they wouldn't. I've seen that a lot with my own kids, my daughter in particular. She'll start sharing things that she probably wouldn't share with just me and her. So,
Yeah, there is something about getting at me. You know, our gospel text today, Jesus, after doing a bunch of ministry, got up early in the morning and went to be with his Heavenly Father. And then he goes back and does more healing and preaching. And like, that's such the rhythm of the Christian life. But that's part of what an opportunity like this, it sounds like you go and there's activity and then there's also time for reflection or more deepening of relationship in a more intimate context.
Yes.
Because you're having this shared experience.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. So what, I've seen some pictures of gardens here. Tell us about the Amistad garden.
Let's see if I can go back to them. Do they? Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay, let me pause it. So this is Porfirio, and so a lot of y'all know I'm a landscaper, and there's a particular type of man that is a gardener that's he's one of these very gentle gardening spirits, and his name's Porfirio, and you can see it in his smile, and he is indigenous, he's Quechua, speaks Quechua, but also Spanish. We have this amazing organic garden, which is all of the produce is used. And I don't really know the percentage of what we need to buy to supplement, but it's not a lot. And so cabbages and broccolis and carrots, and I mean, and as someone that grows things a lot, the size of what they grow is remarkable. So that's Liz's prayer friend right there, Gloria. She just recently received hearing aids. Yep. So
the children all work in the garden. They take their houses, take turns. They're there.
Yeah.
Take turns working, and so it's fun to get in the garden with them because they all are, they're just whipping through there, working so hard.
Yeah. And they love when we get the hose out. That's the big time. So there's opportunities to work in that garden. And I mean, Beth, I have pictures of Beth walking through that garden. I felt like we had a good time.
Oh, it's amazing. The whole experience, I think, is just such a gift. I mean, the word mission is a little misconstrued in this particular scenario because really it ends up being a mission to us.
Yeah.
And it flows the opposite way. And it's just truly a gift. So that's the way it came to me anyway. There was just receiving. I think Robin describes it best. It's really amazing.
The girls aren't sheer out to watch the families within the homes. Y'all talk about this a lot, how they interact with each other, the children.
Even if they like aren't family, they one of the kids is like a new kid. He fell and they all rushed over to help him. And he like just got him.
Mm.
That was neat for them to witness that they just jump right in. There's no, that's not my job. Or the mama needs to come do that. It's very hands on and they really share.
Yeah.
To help each other.
Yeah, the older kids too, they raise the younger kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's like very communal. Like you said, there are 70 kids there. It's almost like it's a 70 person family. Each person is like brothers and sisters with the other 70. Like, they're different houses, but I mean, maybe they spend more time with people in their houses, but like, when they're just out and playing, they're just all playing with each other.
Yeah.
Oh, can you say more about where they go when they grow up?
Yeah, that's been, and tell me when we need to.
That's been an amazing.
Yeah, we've got about 5 more minutes.
Okay. Yeah. That's been, you know, raising kids is hard, right? Like, just across the board. And so we get these kids as infants, sometimes as, you know, 4 and 6 year olds, depending. And they're so loving and wonderful. And then the teenage years are hard. Some do well in their teenage years, but I'm just being honest. Like, teenage years are hard here, and they're harder there. And because they come to us with the baggage that they are carrying of abandonment. And so we're really working on trauma-informed care right now with our mamas and staff. But so that's sometimes part of the process. But what's so beautiful to watch is we often take these older kids out to dinner and have them, we actually have them over to eat dinner with us at La Mirada where we stay. And to, you know, there are some that are, one young woman was in architecture school. There are some that are in culinary school. There are some that are learning to cut hair. We do technical school, and if somebody really wants something and they've proven themselves, there's a university available. And so to see these kids actually come out to dinner with us and like interact with joy and just be able to have a normal conversation like we're friends, and you know that they're living on their own independently. And that's just a home run. It's a win.
And that supports them through adulthood.
Yeah,
they can come back. It is their family. There's no, in our system, you know, it's like we cut off at 18, and if you're lucky, you still have a part of that family. But for us, we keep you.
Yeah,
through adulthood.
Yeah,
support you through college and. Or bakers, and they're very much, now there's a lot that, you know, want to try to do it on their own, but we're always there. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really special, it goes back to being a Christian organization.
Yeah. And so I did, can I ask Clay something?
Sure.
I meant to bring this up earlier with Clay, and Clay has always called Amistad a thin place. And I'd love to know what you think, what you mean by that.
You feel close to God, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it really means to me. I mean, for goodness sakes, you see the amazing transformational power of unconditional love fueled by the Holy Spirit rush unfolding right in front of you. I mean, it's around us all the time, but it's front and center there. I mean, it hits you in the head with a brick, like a brick. I mean, it's just amazing. And I think somebody else mentioned this earlier. I mean, the true beneficiaries of this are the people that go and visit. And, you know, but also, we can't minimize the fact that children experience unconditional love by people who travel all the way from North America simply to spend time with them, you know, and just to interact with them. And I think it's a very positive experience for them.
Yeah.
And they also understand, in a world which has been very fleeting in terms of change for them, because most of them came from very dreadful circumstances, to know that they can maintain a relationship with somebody afterward and continue it, even if they don't come back.
Yeah,
it gives them a future and a hope and something grounding. So just for our last few minutes, Kelly, so I want to take that. So the mission is that we've been partners and supporters of Amistad as a church, and so some of you have been directly impacted by that. My hope with Canon Missioner work is that our whole congregation has an investment in what is happening with our mission partners, Amistad being one of them. And some of you mentioned having prayer partners with some of these children from Amistad. Like, there's something about praying for and supporting and being relationally connected to those that we are sending money to help support, but it's so important that we're developing this mutual, two-way, beneficial relationship where we're all built up as the body of Christ. So, Kelly, if we're going on a trip, can you give us a few of the details that people would need to know? And, of course, Kelly and Duncan and Liz, others are going to be available to talk about this, and we're going to try to make sure the congregation's aware that this is happening. But tell us some of the details.
I'll be really quick.
So that, yeah.
Our trip is going this summer. I think it's going to be May 26th through June 2nd.
Do you want me to pass any of these out, by the way?
I'm going to pass whoever wants a visitor's guide. Some people may. But if anybody just wants to, you know, because it'll say the shots you need and how much it costs and documents you might need. But we are going May 26th through June 2nd. You know, the cost, you know, plane tickets are the most expensive cost. When you get down there, it's $75 a night for adults, $50 for children a night. And this includes a translator, all your meals, and a driver. And the other thing that I would love to do, I meant to pass this out, if you would really, we're about to start Lent, and we do these Lenten reflections, and if you want to learn about Amistad, I'm going to, and have it come to your email, I'd love for anybody to sign up for that so we could have those come to you, and you'll learn a lot about all our staff and all that. But did I answer all the questions about logistics? I mean, there's so many more.
There's a lot of logistics, but like Kelly said, we'll be having some team meetings leading up to it so that everybody's getting fully prepared and so that there's a team bonding element. If we are going as ambassadors from Advent and interchanging with our friends.
That's right. And Adam and hopefully Isaac are going. My husband Duncan's going. Liz is going. So, you know, I can take up to 13 people. And so if you're interested, just contact me. And we'll just go from there.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Kelly, Liz, Duncan, goodness, this is so wonderful. The Wilson family, I just think it's wonderful that our congregation is missionally minded and wants to be connected to what God's doing in other places, near and far. So let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.